WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our special of the Newport Music Festival. Pamela Pantos is back. She is the executive director. I'm Mike Mano, and happy holidays. We're in the holiday season, Pamela.
Oh my gosh, how wonderful, isn't it?
It is wonderful, and a lot of great music this time of year, and I don't think that's going to be any exception tonight, or it's been no exception for what you've been through in the past couple of weeks with your special concerts.
Absolutely. Thank you to all of our listeners who attended. We had full houses and beautiful concerts. I'll be honest, it exceeded expectations musically, and the audience just left, you know, wringing my hands and saying, please, please, let's make sure we do this again next year. And that's always, as you know, such a gratifying experience.
It was, as I understand, a great concert with some amazing soloists. So
remarkable.
People that missed it, don't miss it next time.
Yeah, no, that was it. You know, you put things together on a piece of paper and you visualize it in your head, and then it manifests itself. And when it's so, there's so much more synergy than you think, and the church was beautiful and the weather was nice, and it was just, you know, one of those experiences that you're very proud of.
Everything worked.
Yes, all absolutely. Right. So tonight we're discussing one of the most famous pieces written for actually not this holiday season, but another holiday season, which we'll talk about in a minute, namely Handel's Messiah. What would Christmas be without the Messiah?
There you go.
So, as we've mentioned before, the Messiah was originally an Easter piece, and it was written for the stage of the Music Hall in Dublin, of all places, mm-hmm. in 1742. And because it was Handel and he had a huge following at this point in his career, the audience swelled to 700 people for a hall that was only supposed to hold around 400. And as I think I've mentioned before, the pleas by the management were for ladies to please not wear hoops in their dresses,
right,
so that they
right.
could fit as many people as possible.
In, right.
And one of the other pieces that may have drawn attention is that Handel's superstar contralto, Susanna Cibber, was also in a scandalous divorce at the time. So there was, you know, there was Handel, there was a divorce.
Interesting. What's going on?
And so according to all of the descriptions, and this is one of the interesting things, there are lots of archives and lots of written descriptions of people experiencing Handel's music because they were so taken by it. So there are all kinds of letters. And in one of them, it said that the people were, you know, mesmerized from the moment that the music started. And at one point, Cibber was singing something, and that the reverend who was present stood up because he was so moved by the piece and said, "Woman, for this all thy sins be forgiven." So it had a very emotional impact on people.
That's never happened to me once. I'm
And so what's interesting about the Messiah is, as we know, with many choral works, the chorus has a backseat. You have all these wonderful, like the Verdi Requiem, right?
Sure.
The soloists have huge parts, and then the chorus fills in, even though it's glorious sometimes. But what's interesting about the Messiah is, because Handel was such a profound opera composer, he integrated the chorus in a manner that's not just meaningful, but really is a lot of the substance of the piece itself. And the chorus really propels the work forward. So what's interesting is that the London Handel Festival, which does concerts at St. George's Hanover Square Church, where Handel went, still continues to do the Messiah there. And many composers have adored Handel, and Beethoven himself, in one of his letters, said about Messiah that he felt that Handel was the greatest composer that had ever lived. So a couple things about Handel, and we'll jump right into the music. He was born into a religious and affluent household. His father was a very well-known surgeon, and he wanted Handel, the son, to become a lawyer. But he was a child prodigy, and by the time he was 11, he was recognized, and he was sent off to learn how to be a composer. And by 18, he had written his first opera, Elmira, which was very well received. And then in the next 4 or 5 years, he traveled around Europe and was employed all over the place, not only in Germany, but interestingly enough, in Italy. And the reason this is very important is it greatly influenced his writing style. The greatest singers of the time were in Italy, and that's how he came to write operas, which of course then affected the drama that he brings to us in The Messiah. So anyway, let's jump right in and let's hear the first six movements of The Messiah, namely, we'll begin with the overture, then Comfort Ye and Every Valley, the tenor solos, and the Glory by the chorus, Thus Saith the Lord by the bass, and But Who May Abide?
We'll listen to those six pieces, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. and cry unto her that her
play. once a little while, and I will share. Dry land, and I will shake, and I will shake all nations. I'll shake the hands of the earth, the sea, the dry land, all nations. I'll shake, and the desire. Shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delighted. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Like a refiner's fire, and who
shall stand when he appeareth, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and who shall stand when he appeareth, when he appeareth? Like a refiner's fire. For he is like a refiner's
beautiful music provided by the Newport Music Festival. We're back. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, celebrating this wonderful time of the year. Pamela, that was two of the six pieces we listened to on the other side of the commercial break, and now we can continue.
With just a few more in just a moment. So just a little bit about Handel. As we mentioned that he did not follow a traditional route. And what's one of the things that's quite interesting about him is, unlike Bach, who lived at the same time, but who he never met, Bach stayed very much in the court patronage, in the church employment, in terms of his career. Handel was restless, very independent, and he actually didn't stay with one patron for an extended period of time. Everybody thinks that because he wrote the water music for King George I, that, oh, he had this huge patronage.
So you said they never met?
They never met.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
No.
I thought they were buds.
No, they were not.
Okay.
They were not. They traveled in absolute parallel, but never met and admired one another. But as I said, Handel had lots of different patrons, didn't stay with King George, didn't stay with anyone, because he was doing quite well economically. So he went to London, where he moved permanently, because Germany was too uptight for him and the Italians were a little too crazy, but he did employ lots of Italian singers because they were the best in the world. So the elaborate opera productions he did were very, very expensive, and the Italian singers were divas. So at one point, he kind of backed off and said, you know what? I've done enough opera. Let me write something that I really want to write, which has neither scenery nor these stars, these divas. And that's when he started really writing his oratorios, of which, of course, The Messiah is one of his masterpieces. So interestingly enough, just a couple more things about his personality before we move on. He had relationships, never married, and had a huge fortune because he was very shrewd and invested in the stock markets. You don't think of composers being economically that savvy, but he was. And he was a millionaire by the end of his life.
Wow.
And left it all to friends, to music organizations, and to charity. So a huge philanthropist, very fascinating man. So with that in mind, let's move on to these next three pieces from The Messiah that are in chronological order from where we were before in terms of the piece itself. And He Shall Purify, Behold a Virgin, and O Thou That Tellest.
All right, we'll listen to those three, then take a short break and be back with more.
He shall purify the soul.
shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
Thank you.
Handel's Messiah, the subject of tonight's program at this holiday time of year, and Pamela Pantos is here with me. I'm Mike Mano, and we've been listening to beautiful music provided by the Newport Music Festival. And Pamela, let's pick it up where we left off.
Well, I want to make sure that we have time to hear some of the highlights of the Christmas part of the Messiah, so I'll just say a few more words. Again, we mentioned that Handel was a great philanthropist, and he played the Messiah a great deal. It was one of his own favorite pieces.
That's always good if you write something that you like.
As a matter of fact, he had a favorite charity, London's Foundling Hospital, a home for abandoned and orphaned children, and every benefit concert always included excerpts from the Messiah in it. When he was in failing health and blind at the end of his life, he insisted on attending a concert on April 6th in 1759, that included the Messiah, and he died just a few days later. So again, it was one of his favorite pieces. We've enjoyed it, obviously, as listeners. Beethoven said of Handel great words, and Mozart even said great words. Mozart paid Handel an incredible compliment by taking the Messiah and adding his own ornamentation to it. It's a fascinating piece. And he said about it, he said, "I'm humbled by Handel's genius and the alterations that Mozart made, please note that I'm not trying to make the piece better. Handel knows better than any of us what will make an effect. It was simply he added his own interpretive flourishes to,
style,
to it. So again, happy holidays, everyone, and let's listen to several of the recitatives by the soprano, Glory to God, and Rejoice Greatly.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.